I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me.
Why not focus on a project launched by the president of the Pontifical Council for Culture, Archbishop Gianfranco Ravasi, and which he asked Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, former official of this office, to take part in. Father Peter sat down with me in our studios a little while back to tell me all about it.
Culture's your second favourite subject, I think, isn't it?
You're right, yeah.
So it's also a field of expertise of yours.
Well, it became so. I had that surprise one day of being called to work in the Vatican in the Culture Ministry. Well, it's actually called the Pontifical Council for Culture, but nobody knew quite why. And it was because within the work of the Council for Culture in the Vatican was the work of the former Council for Dialogue with Non-Believers, and that's really my expertise.
In fact, the head of the council at the time used to be the head of the Pontifical Council for Non-Believers, no?
That's right, and the man I replaced...
Cardinal Poupart.
Cardinal Poupart was head of both. The man I replaced was an Irish Jesuit called Michael Paul Gallagher, and he had gone into the Council for Non-Believers, and we had gone along a similar track in our formation.
Have you kept in touch with this council? I believe you've been asked to do something new for them, no?
Well, I always follow what they're doing, and they send me their review 4 times a year. And I'm always fascinated to see how they develop the work they've been asked to do by successive popes. I'm delighted that when I went the other day, Archbishop Ravasi, the new boss, mentioned a thing called the Court of the Gentiles. People that know the Bible will know that the Court of the Gentiles is the part of the temple where the non-Jews have to remain, the non-believers, in other words. The New York Jews would call people like you and me goys, which comes from the Hebrew hagoyim, the peoples, the nations, the non-Jews. And this is a phrase that was used by Pope Benedict in his last address to the Roman Curia on the 21st of December in 2009. And like Archbishop Ravasi, I'm impressed by the image, I must say, because what he is trying to get across is the need for the church to keep a space for dialogue with people who don't belong to the world of belief, but are prepared to engage in discussion, contact, research, dialogue of any kind. And Archbishop Ravasi said, from your past, it seems that you'd be ideal for this, so would you join in? Well, yes, I'm glad to do that.
And what does this project entail?
It's brand new, so I don't think that's been delineated yet. That's for the people involved to discover along the way. But I'm glad that there's officially an invitation to keep that space open for dialogue. Too often in my life as a priest, I've been told that, obviously, being a Catholic priest, I will not be open to currents of thought that are not specifically Christian or believers. That's not true. I think the whole point of belonging to the Christian faith is to make a difference to the world and to bring goodness where you can do, to bring openness, honesty, many other values that non-believers and believers would share anyway, but we have our own background for those values, our own reasons for being respectful towards human life and so on and so forth. And I don't think a discussion between believers is going to convert the world. Believers talking to other people as though they mattered, as though they were important to believers, it was essential. If Jesus says, go and preach the gospel to all nations, I think that partly means preach the gospel to all kinds of people. And some kinds of people don't believe, don't find it easy to believe, have lots of reasons from experience or from other parts of life that tell them not to believe. And if we can't talk to them, it's our loss, as much as theirs.
It's a strange thing. I've often noticed that non-believers have a great interest in religion in general. Would you agree with that?
I think they do. I didn't really know that until I worked in the council in Rome, when all of a sudden, after years of me simply writing about what atheist and non-believers organisations were doing, but never commenting on it, just saying what they were doing, all of a sudden, out of the blue, various people came from countries I had never come across before, Nepal, India, and so on, people saying, we'd like to meet the person who does these reports, because they felt it was fascinating that the Vatican was taking interest in them but not judging them. And that would still be my approach, really. I'm not entitled to judge until I know something very well or some set of ideas very well. And they were surprised. They were simply relieved to be on their radar but not to be cast aside or condemned or anything like that.
Pope Benedict is a scholar, really, isn't he? Does he often speak about culture in homilies or speeches?
Well, I have reason to believe that he, as a German, like me as a British person, finds it instinctively difficult to speak about culture in the sense that would be used by a French person or an Italian. It's a question, I think, of vocabulary and concept linked to our nationality. But he is very interested in culture. One of the most important things he ever did before he became Pope was to engage in a conversation with a German philosopher called Jürgen Habermas. And in that conversation, one of the points he was trying to make, how successfully, I'm not sure, I don't know, I just don't know, but I did read the exchange in Munich some years ago. What the Pope was trying to say was...
Well, he wasn't Pope then.
No, he wasn't. No, he was Archbishop. He was Cardinal Ratzinger. He was in charge of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. But he still kept these channels open with German intellectuals. And in this case, what he was trying to say was, if a religion can't be reasonable, it has to resort to violence. Because when you think about it, if you can't persuade someone and you still think that person has to join you, you have to force them in. Now, I think he was being immensely civilized and thoughtful and thought-provoking by saying a religion, to be a real religion worthy of being called a religion for human beings, has to have space for rational discourse, for argument in the sense of discussion, open discussion. And I have to say this may provoke a strange reaction, that is exactly the point he was trying to make in Regensburg when he was speaking about, he mentioned Islam, he mentioned an emperor and a difficult quotation, but the point that he was trying to make was this, that anything that cannot cope with rational discussion, reasoned argument, has to be violent in the end. Perhaps some people would argue with his choice of example. That's not for me to discuss, but I think the point he was making was exactly the point he and Habermas had been discussing, and in a way it was a continuation of that discussion.
Are there any other particular areas that have struck you in this field of culture during the pontificate itself?
Since Pope Benedict is a lecturer by formation, a theologian, I think the openness to intellectuals is crystal clear. It's sad when you sometimes read in some press reports that the Catholic Church is a closed institution, the Pope has a closed mind. I can't see that at all. I think he's a remarkably open man. And the way he conducts himself in discussions, he can only be described as a gentleman. My own experience of him personally has been as a gentleman. I've always said that to people, even long before he became the Pope. And I think that will continue. He will seek, by treating people with dignity and as, you know, equal partners in discussion, he will seek to bring the joy that he's found in his faith to other people. He's not exactly the same as some of the evangelists that I used to see at work in Britain when I was a little boy. It's not his style. He's much more calm and patient in the way he approaches evangelization.
He's a scholar and an intellectual, but he obviously has a broad cultural background because he often quotes from literature, doesn't he? I mean, one of his favourites is Dante, for example.
Well, I think he's one of those people who's appreciated his time here in Italy. So enormous respect for the Italian cultural history. But also, he, in discussion with a great Swiss theologian who died, sadly, just before he was to be made a cardinal, Hans Urs von Balthasar. Even just reading von Balthasar's Aesthetics, which was an amazingly positive and productive approach to faith and theology, the then Cardinal Ratzinger would have, come into contact with many very beautiful expressions of humanity in terms of literature and sculpture and painting. The cultural history of Europe has been, I think, enormously important to him and continues so to be.
He's very much a European, isn't he?
He is. I think he recognises that. He did say, though, in the meeting with the Curia in December that I mentioned before, the first thing he mentioned was his visit to Cameroon and Angola. It had meant so much to him, and he referred to himself as part of the same family as the people he was meeting there. What struck him, obviously, was how much he and they shared. And that's great to hear from someone like the Pope. And, you know, it came across to me just as, you know, I went to see my cousins, my brothers and sisters in faith, my brothers and sisters in humanity. So I don't think his being a humanist in the European sense closes him to other cultures. I think he just knows where he comes from. He's at home in European culture, but certainly not closed to...
He's open to other cultures.
I think so, yes.
Do you think that the Germans and the English have a lot in common culturally, because the Pope is about to go to England?
Well, I think I mentioned before that we both have instinctive problems with the concept of culture as it's conceived in Italy and France and Spain and so on. But I think it really is a question of terminology. But the fact that we both have that little hiccup is to do with a very pragmatic approach to life, which is shared by Great Britain, really, and the German-speaking countries at the centre of Europe. And I think after the dreadful happenings of the middle of the 20th century, we've become a lot closer. We've had to work to understand each other, and we're still doing that job, and I think his visit will actually move that along for a lot of people who still find Germany a slightly shadowy element of recent history in Europe.
And my thanks there go to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, former official at the Pontifical Council for Culture, currently parish priest of St Joseph's, Blundell Sands in Lancashire, England. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.